Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I have some pastoral news. Billy McMahon goes into the Brompton Hospital today for an operation on Tuesday. So please think of Margaret and Bill and their family during the coming week. Cathy Seymour's daughter, Becca, and her husband, Tim, are proud parents of baby Finn, who was born on Thursday evening. Our organ repairs start in February, and there are two people doing this work who need accommodation. So if anybody can oblige, please could you talk to Catherine for a week. And on Saturday the 11th of February at 6:45 at St Paul's Church, Queen's Road, there is a quiz night. The tickets are £12, including a light supper. This is a fundraising event in aid of Kingston Action on Homelessness, so please try to attend.
You could all try and ignore the screeching. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Follow me, said Jesus, and they left everything to follow him. We joined together to sing, Morning Has Broken. We're going to join together to pray. So let us pray. Follow me, said Jesus, and immediately they left their nets and followed him. Lord, we have also left things to be here this morning. Some of us have left people behind. And here we are to spend time with you. And we pray that we can use this time to focus on you. We ask you to forgive us for those times when we knew that you called us and actually we decided that we were too busy to respond. When we dithered about what we should do. And when we didn't even think about asking you what we should do. And when we did something that others would have thought of as really good, but actually we did it for all sorts of not very good reasons. We have to admit that sometimes doing the right thing is hard. But we thank you for those times when we were brave enough and we did what we know to be right. And we ask for your forgiveness for those times when we did not. And we pray for your strengthening that in all things we would live our lives well and to your glory. Lord, we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Sheesh, those grown-ups want to go rattling through that. Just going to drag them back. Which, this... Okay.
Morning. Good morning. You can hear me. Great. Come and sit down, children. Big ones and little ones. Right. Hello. Right. Who might use one of these? Dahi. What is it? It's a mini football. So who would use a football? A footballer. A footballer, yeah? So, footballer. Who might use one of these? What sort of job would use one of these? A baker to make some lovely cakes. See how I managed to get cake into almost everything. A cook or a chef would use to roll things out. Who might use these? Everybody.
Dahi.
Who gives us these? We go for tests. Who gives us these? An optician, or an ophthalmologist, if you're, yes. That's your big word for the day. Who uses one of these? Sophia. a doctor to listen to our heartbeat. I've already checked Sophia's heartbeat and she's fine this morning. She's fine. Who would use one of these? Apart from Janine. Who would use one of these? Sophia, who would use that? Dahi. Who's a gardener? That's right, to water the flowers and the bushes. Who might use one of these? Apart from a youth worker. Everybody. A lot of people. People who work in offices, accountants and lawyers, secretaries, ministers of religion, social workers. Lots of people use these, yes. Now, what I want to say to you today is that no matter what we do, okay, and even if we don't have a job, actually, God calls us to follow Jesus. And in your story today, Jesus calls certain people. He doesn't call a footballer or a baker, a gardener, an optician or a doctor. He calls somebody else. Now, this is slightly trickier. What do you think this is? A fisher? A fisherman. He calls some fishermen. So you've got your net and some fish, and you're going to use this in a minute. So I'm going to give it back to Bron in a minute. Your story is about Jesus calling some fishermen. And that's because he calls rich people and poor people, men and women, people who have jobs, people who don't have jobs. He wants all of us to follow him. Okay? So Dahi, I'm going to give this to you to look after. You can bring it back in afterwards, okay? And we're going to sing. Can't remember the name of the song.
I Love the Sun.
I Love the Sun.
I'm going to sing it with unaccompanied. I Sun. Actions. I love the sun, it shines on me. God made the sun and God made me. I love the stars, they twinkle on me. God made the stars and God made me. I love the birds, they sing to me. God made the birds and God made me. I love the rain, it splashes on me. God made the rain and God made me. I love the wind, it blows round me. God made the wind and God made me.
I think we should sing that again. I think we should have some actions from you two. You two. Let's go.
I love the sun, it shines on me. God made the sun and God made me. I love the stars, they twinkle on me. God made the stars and God made me. I love the birds, they sing to me. God made the birds and God made me. I love the rain, it splashes on me. God made the rain and God made me. I love the wind, it blows round me. God made the wind and God made me.
Excellent. Thank you. It's good workout for your arms, Christiana. We spend a right load of time with the prophet Isaiah. Well, so we should, it's massive. But Isaiah 9 is where we are today, which means we're in the first Isaiah, written around the time of the conquest of the northern kingdom. Remember, you've got two bits of Israel, northern kingdom, which was destroyed, and Israel, then the two tribes were left, and that became Israel. But the northern kingdom was destroyed. So leaders taken into exile, 724, 721 BC. It's written in the past tense, but what's called the prophetic past, a device to declare complete faith that God will fulfill what the prophet says. And David Tang will read this passage to us.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. There will be no way for them to escape from this time of trouble. The land of the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali was once disgraced, but the future will bring honor to this region from the Mediterranean eastwards to the land on the other side of the Jordan, and even to Galilee itself, where the foreigners live. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. They live in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. You have given them great joy, Lord. You have made them happy. They rejoice in what you have done, as people rejoice when they harvest their corn or when they divide captured wealth. For you have broken the yoke that burdened them and the rod that beat their shoulders. You have defeated the nation that oppressed and exploited your people, just as you defeated the army of Midian long ago.
So we jump over the story of the temptations of Jesus, because we'll be looking at that as we start of Lent when we get there. And here we have a sort of whistle-stop tour of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And Glyn Robinson will read this passage to us.
The Gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he went away to Galilee. He did not stay in Nazareth, but went to live in Capernaum, a town by Lake Galilee, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was done to make what the prophet Isaiah had said come true. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road to the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee, land of the Gentiles. The people who live in darkness will see a great light. On those who live in the dark land of death, the light will shine. From that time, Jesus began to preach his message. Turn away from your sins, because the kingdom of heaven is near. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch people." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called to them, And at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. Jesus went all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news about the kingdom and healing people who had all kinds of disease and sickness.
Can I just say, for those of you who maybe don't know it, if it's useful to you to know that the text is there, and as I preach, you can follow it. Or if you want to take the text away with you and chew it over, that's good. If you don't sleep well, that's fine. So copies of the sermon, that's what I'm saying is, copies of the sermon are available at the back. And because of the fact it's translated, I usually stick to the text. Pretty well? Pretty well, that's good. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. But what about those people who do not realize that they are in darkness? What about those who thought that their light, who think that their life is sorted? People who live in countries where they're not at war, where the climate is equitable, people have a job that stimulates them, people who have enough to eat, people who have housing that is sorted. In what sense are such people in darkness? In what sense does Jesus have anything to say to them? Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ would say, ha ha, well, the answer is clear. Have they said the sinner's prayer? Are they saved? Are they eternally safe? Have they committed their lives to Jesus, and are they heading for heaven? And they would say that those who are outside of the church, outside of that, are in spiritual darkness, and they need to move into the light of salvation. Well, I would say that such a notion is a reduction of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it says to people like me and to many of you, okay, you've said the magic formula, now actually what you're doing is treading water until you die. And I don't believe that that fits with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Jesus moved from his parents' home in Nazareth to Capernaum. I could preach a wee sermon on why, but we won't. I'm not doing that. I'm doing something else. And he preaches a message that says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sins. And then the passage goes on. He calls four disciples to follow him. And he went about preaching and healing people. Turn away from your sins. The kingdom of heaven is near. What does that mean? What does sin? Sin is a word that's bandied about a lot. What does that mean? Well, I like the definition. Sin is humans' ability to muck things up. Turn away from your ability to mess things up. God gives us things and we mess things up. So, for example, we cannot organize society so that everyone is adequately fed and adequately clothed. We cannot organize things so that when disasters, death, illness happen, people are cared for. We are selfish, we are greedy, we are lazy, we are dependent, sinful. So, for example, we give benefits and people fiddle them and exploit the rest of us. And we agree to pay tax and people cheat and avoid it. And we cannot live our lives on the earth with a life of balance at creation. And we demand too much of the earth and we destroy the planet. So that's what sinful means. We mess things up. So is what is being said here, come to Jesus and all will be sorted? Well, I don't think that's what it says at all. Jesus says to the disciples, come with me. He doesn't wave a magic wand over them. He doesn't say, right, well, here's the formula, recite this, say this, and everything's fine. He says, come with me, which means this is a change. It's going to take some time. We'll do it together. And could it be that if it didn't happen instantly for the disciples, and they were in the company of Jesus, it won't happen instantly for us either? And is it possible, if you want to be closer and closer to the truth and what full life looks like, then you have to deliberately make sure that in some way we are in the company of Jesus every day. And that might be praying, that might be reading, that might be what you listen to, that might be what you watch. Because if you're not deliberately putting yourself in the company of Jesus every day, then you are following and being shaped by somebody or something else. Right, so this is how it works, says Jesus. There is a new way of being, and there is a new way of relating, and it is started in the heavens, and it is to spread to the earth. He says, the kingdom of heaven is near, he says. And he says he is bringing this in. And to make that happen, people need to turn away from their sin, which is human beings' ability to muck things up. And to develop that, they need to be near to him. So he calls the disciples to follow him. Calls another two disciples to follow him. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's okay for them, hanging around with Jesus. What about me? What about us? Well, we need to remember the whole of the gospel truth. We need not to be pagans about this. We need to remember the whole of the gospel truth. We are Trinitarian Christians. We believe in God revealed in the Son, of course, God in the Creator, but also God revealed in the Holy Spirit. So we believe in the power of the presence of God with us today, now, here, everywhere, but here and now. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God at work, changing and renewing the people that we are. We are people journeying with the Spirit. Like the disciples journeyed with Jesus, we journey with the Spirit. And we have to put time and energy into allowing that to transform the people that we are. Okay? But it doesn't stop there. It is not enough. But we're not here today for some sort of self-help, getting the best out of myself sort of meeting. You know, we're not into a think positive, power crazy. That's not who we are. It's not enough for me to be changed, for the work of Jesus to be done. It's not about being some lonely figure on a pole who's all lovely. Or it's not about being some generous, kind hermit in a cave. That's not what it's about. Jesus says, I will teach you to catch people. What's that then? So clearly, let's take the scripture seriously. Let's realize he's making some sort of joke. It's some sort of pun, isn't it? Isn't it? He's talking to fishermen. You know, he's telling a joke. It's some sort of, it's not a very funny joke, but it's a sort of pun. It's a sort of, you know, play on words, isn't it? They're catching fish. Come with me, we will catch people. That's what it is. And if he'd been talking to accountants, he would have, you know, I don't know, come with me and I'll help us to add up more people to get, you know, whatever. It would have been something that would have come with me. If you talk to an engineer, come with me and we'll build the kingdom together. That's what he would have said. So it's not, I would say, let's focus on the catching, let's focus on the people. It's about being people. It's about being people who focus their lives on people, and that means that they radiate the light. To live a life that is attractive to other people, I don't mean superficially so, I don't mean so that people glance at you and think, you know, blimey Charlie, look at them with their big house and their flash cars and their 2.4 kids or whatever it is. I don't mean that. Look at them, they're fit and healthy and just finished a marathon. All that. I don't mean that. I mean a life that radiates light. In fact, a life that screams generosity, kindness, courage, integrity, compassion. That's light. And it's a light that shines in all sorts of places. And does it show up the darkness? It shows up the darkness in others. But the thing about that sort of light is it doesn't gloat over the darkness in others, because it is a light that is focused on love, and that means it's aware of how much further they have to go. So let us be silent and then we will pray. Creating and sustaining God, we give you thanks and praise. Help us to see with your delight the many faces with us on your way. Thank you for the wonderful times that make life worth living. Thank you, loving God, that you know us, all our secrets and all our masks, and you call us. Help us to grow with confidence in the faith, that we will not grasp it for ourselves, but freely and generously share it with others and live it. with unending gentleness, kindliness, courage, security, peace, joy, love, faithfulness, Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, Christ be our light. So let us pray. Eternal God, we come as disciples come as followers. We come as people seeking more. We pray that you would help Christian women and men to be faithful to their calling. To help us in the deepening and broadening of faith. And we ask that you would help the church to keep away from a shallow understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. Feeble commitment, surface piety, thin discipleship. So that it is justified to accuse us of hypocrisy. May we be people of integrity. We pray for people who are against our faith. For those who ridicule it, and those who don't see the point of it, don't understand, don't care about it, we pray for them. And we hold up to you the persecuted church. Too easily, we in this tolerant, safe country forget that our brothers and sisters in Christ know what it is to face physical torture and deprivation for the sake of the faith. And for them, we pray. And for those who persecute them. And for at this time of transition and political upheaval in our world, Lord, we pray. We pray for justice that is beyond any national border. We pray that you would help us all to remember that we inhabit one small planet spinning in space, and we inhabit it together. and we pray for our politicians and the politicians of this world. That they would remember that they are called to protect the weakest. So we pray for those who are weak because they are ill. And those who are weak because they are poor. And we pray for those who are weak because they are fit and think they can do everything. And those who are weak because they are rich and believe that there is nothing in life they cannot sort out with their credit card. We pray for those that we love and those whose situation is heavy in our hearts. Those whose pictures and stories we have heard about in the media, and we are called to pray for them. And we pray for ourselves. God of grace and God of glory, receive the prayers we bring. They come, empowered by the Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now we're going to take an offering. Let us pray. Bless the money that we bring. May it be spent wisely. May it be used to build up the life of this church, not for its own sake, but that through it we would share the truth that we have found in you, to be a light in the middle of Kingston when we are together and when we are apart. Bless this building. Bless all those who come here and those who work here. And bless us in your service. Lord, we pray. Amen. We're joined to sing, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" So what have you been up to?
Well, we've been doing a few things today. So first of all, we talked about light, didn't we? Who's got the book? We'll have to show you this afterwards because we've been writing in our new books, which we've got. Sophia's got one and he's got one. But you can't see it. Mm. No.
But however,
what you need is a special light to shine on the book, and then it shows the message. So we were talking about Jesus being the light of the world, and he's the special light that shows us the way. And then we also, so put your books down for a minute. Yeah, we can show people afterwards. So if you want to come and see our special books, you can do that afterwards. And then I've got two helpers here because we needed these to mend these nets, you see, because they had a few holes in them. So who are you?
Oh, hang on. Who are you?
James.
Yeah, and who are you?
John.
Okay, so James and John have been mending these nets with very lovely pink ribbon.
So I'm sure the first fisherman.
Yeah, I think they did.
I think I'm sure the first fisherman mended with pink nets.
Yeah. Okay.
Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call our names. Let us turn and follow you and never be the same. We say,
In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow in you, and you in me. Amen.